Right, that's right. Right? And for Paul, he made a choice. He made a choice to deny himself of that reputation that he had gained. Right? He was a reputed Pharisee, but he chose to defame himself, right, to become a Christian. Right? So a lot of Jews actually had an issue with him. Everyone say he made a choice. And you guys have made your choice on the day you said yes to Jesus. Some of you have not made that choice, and that's totally fine. Right, but as a disciple of Jesus, we make a choice. Everyone say, make a choice. Right, and the second point of that is that Paul had invested himself to have intimacy with God. So you can write down intimacy with God, right? Paul believed, right, Philippians chapter 3 verse 8, that nothing could compare to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ, his Lord. Wow. That means that not even his family came before God. That means not even his dreams came before God, knowing God. Not even the idea of being close. No, it was the fact that he loved God, right? And he made every effort to strain forward to love Jesus, right, as his Lord and Savior. Everyone say intimacy with God. Right? And I trust that all of you are building your intimacy with God, right? Whether you are in secondary segment all the way to campus, we're probably reading our Bible, right? We're reading, we're praying, right? We're worshiping God, right? Today was an amazing time of worship. Thank you, Pastor Eunice and her team for leading us, right? Let's give them a round of applause, by the way. And the third hallmark of discipleship, right, for Paul was that he often checked himself. Right, so you can write down self-check. Right, he checked himself. He knew that he was on the way to becoming who God wanted him to be. That's why in Philippians chapter 1 verse 6, he says that God will continue to work in you and complete you on the day of Jesus Christ. Right, so Paul knew that he had to continually check himself. Everyone say, I need to check myself. How that looks like is that sometimes, like for example, you get angry at something, right? You return back to that secret place with God and you ask God, why was that something that triggered me? Why was that something that made me post something on TikTok? Right? Why did I post that on Insta story flaming this person, right? So sometimes, praise God, we have people like your cell leaders or you have your parents to check for you. But guess what, guys? At the age of 28, let me tell you, right, most importantly, you got to check yourself, right? So everyone say self-check. Awesome, right? Last but not least, number four, the hallmark of Paul's discipleship was that he had a mission. And his mission was to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? That same mission is the mission we share. Right? So all of us, everyone say, this is my mission. That's right. Right? We are here to go to our schools. We are here, right, to spread the good news to our classmates. We are here to spread the good news to our family, right, to anyone or everyone. Right? Recently, I had this chance, and I don't know about you guys, but I'm someone that really struggles with talking to strangers. Right? I'm not even kidding. Right? I love talking to people I know, but I really struggle with talking to strangers. But recently my mom, right, told me that a neighbor of ours wanted to know more about God. And it was such a privilege for me to meet him. And I don't know what it was, but the mission in me fueled me to overcome the awkwardness, right? So it made me realize and remember, wow, as a disciple, this is my actual mission, to be on the ground, right, to spread the good news of God. He became a Christian, right? Shall we give thanks to God for that? Right? And the second time I met him, super awesome, right? He learned how to pray, and it was so precious to hear his prayers, because they were so simple, to the point. Right? So unadulterated. And lastly, when I brought him for cell, right, it was such a joy for me when I saw some of the kids like Julian Yap, right, just bonding with him, Varun just bonding with him, right, to the point where they even have each other's contact numbers, right? Making our mission a purpose, right? Everyone say mission. Right? So Paul had these four hallmarks of a discipleship. Right? Why do I need to say this? Because I'm going to talk about his story for a short while. I need you to think about how these things play a part. right? And in time to come, probably your cell leaders or even your SUPs or your TLs will be talking about these four things, because there are four very important tenets to the discipleship that we follow Jesus with. Amen? Amen, right? All right. Before we go into the story, I just thought, let's pray. Let's pray, all right? Shall we all bow our heads? Father, we just want to thank you that today we get to learn from one of the greatest followers of you. Lord, we thank you that he lived a life that is so inspiring. Lord, every word in the scripture that he writes, Lord, Father, in the epistles, in the letters, Lord, we are thankful for them. God, we pray, will we measure up to the calling, the manner of the calling that you have called us to? Lord, will we be true disciples who follow you and have our hearts sold out for you? In Jesus' name, amen. So Paul, right, I'm going to jump forward from the place of Damascus all the way to the place of, actually I can't remember where. Okay, but he was somewhere before this place, and this place is called Philippi. Everyone say Philippi. Right, so he had gone to a place and God said, don't go to this place. Okay, everyone say, don't go to this place. So Paul was sitting there in the night and suddenly he had a vision, right? And he had a vision of a Macedonian man coming to him. And the Macedonian man said, come and help us, right? And so because of that, he felt that he had to go into Macedonia, right? And when he went into Macedonia, the first thing he wanted to do was to preach the gospel in a synagogue. But there was no synagogue, so he went to the river, right? So anyways, you know the vision of the Macedonian? The equivalent of that is like, how many of you are in NS? Oh, okay, one, Donovan Tree. Okay, and Stuart. Thank you. And also, Malcolm, awesome, right? When you guys are sitting in the night in your bunk, suddenly you see your lieutenant colonel appear in the dream, right? And he says, I need you to come into camp. Wow, okay? So that's the equivalent, right? And as he went into Philippi, the first person he saw was Lydia. Is Lydia here today? Where's Lydia? Lydia, she's not here today. Oh, she's here. Hi, Lydia, right? She met Lydia, right? And at the river, he started to preach the gospel, and it says in the Bible, in Acts chapter 16, so you can write this down, Acts chapter 16, that Lydia opened her heart to the Lord and to the gospel, right? And she accepted Jesus into her heart. Amen, man, Lydia. Awesome namesake, right? And so that was the first person recorded in the Bible, right, to follow Jesus, right, from Philippi. The second thing that happened was that as more and more they preached, Paul and Silas went around and they gained favor. Following that, there was a slave. This slave was a fortune teller, right? And she could predict the future. And, I mean, I think that's pretty exciting, right? But she started shouting behind Paul and Silas every time they were preaching, right? You can read this in Acts chapter 16 for yourself. She shouted, these two men are sent by God, right? They are here to proclaim salvation. And so it says in Acts chapter 16 in the ESV version that Paul got greatly annoyed, right? And in our version of what we understand that is like he got triggered, right? So when he got triggered, he said, come out of you, you spirit, right, in Jesus' name. And so the divining spirit came out of the woman and she could no longer predict the future, right? And so who do you think is the most upset here? Her owners, because she's earning money, right, by telling people's fortunes. So the owners pressed charges against Paul and Silas and they were sent to jail. Right? Everyone say jail. Alright. Now I want you all to imagine jail. Okay? Just close your eyes. Imagine jail. Okay? I think EY can really imagine it because his training course in army was next to a jail. Right? Detention barracks, right? Yes. A jail is extremely lonely. Right? It is a place where you are totally not in any freedom. Right? The food given to you is what you have. You are in complete need. And you are completely not okay, right? I don't think anyone here would say, I want to be in prison, right? I don't think so. But guess what Paul and Silas did in that prison? Can anyone tell me? Do you all know? Okay, I'm just going to randomly call your seat number. And then you will tell me your answer. I'm kidding, all right? The answer is that Paul... Well, was that scary? We should try that sometime, huh? But Paul and Silas, right, they started to sing hymns. And they started to pray. That's crazy, right? That is completely counterculture. Can you imagine that you are feeling completely stressed out by your exams? You are completely dark in darkness in your depression. You are completely in a place of inadequacy in your own little prisons. And you are just deciding in that moment, I'm going to sing hymns. I'm going to pray to God. That is crazy, right? But that was Paul and that was Silas. And what followed that was a ground-shaking event. Do you know what it was? It was an earthquake, right? So an earthquake rocked. Do you all get the joke? Okay, right? The earthquake rocked the jail cell and the jail cell was completely flung wide open, right? And when it was completely flung wide open, the jailer wailed because he thought that these two prisoners were going to run out. But Paul and Silas remembered their mission. Their mission is to preach the gospel everywhere. And that includes even being in prison. Now everyone say, even if I'm in prison, whether it's emotional, physical, or spiritual, right? Even if I'm in prison, I can preach the gospel. Everyone say, I can preach the gospel. There is still a mission in my life. Let's try that again. There's still a mission in my life. Let's try it. And when they started to preach the gospel to the jailer, he and his household became saved. Wow. That's amazing. And of all of these people, they became the church of Philippi. Now I want to tell you something. KUS Youth as a church did not begin with just Pastor Titus anchoring service. It did not begin with Pastor Eunice leading worship. It began as a church with encounters by individuals. Right? It began as an encounter by individuals. And actually, every single one of you that are here in this auditorium came here because you had an encounter with God or desire an encounter with God. It's as simple as that. Right? And Paul and Silas, when they left Philippi, that's the end of that whole series of Philippi, right? And from then, right, Paul continued on his missionary journey. Now, after which, 10 years later, Paul lands up in Rome. And in Rome, he was in prison. Everyone say he's in prison again. And in that prison, right, now we know on hindsight, but he didn't know. But now on hindsight, we know those were to be his final 2 years of his life. And in those 2 years, he decided to write so many letters to the churches that he had gone. Right? So can you imagine, like, how many of you are cell leaders? Just raise your hands. Right? Cell leaders. Yeah. Shall we all appreciate them for, right, all the work that they do week in, week out, right? Can you imagine that 10 years later, you go back to visit the cell that you were leading in? What a moment, right? For Paul, he couldn't physically visit them, so he wrote them a letter. And in that letter, right, which is the passage we're going to speak of today, the book of Philippians, right, was written by him, right? And in the verses that we're going to read in chapter 4, so we can turn to Philippians chapter 4, right, and we can also have the verses on the screen, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 onwards, right? He wrote some crazy things, right, that someone in prison would probably not ever write. Right, but because he was a follower of Jesus, because he had the four hallmarks that made him a follower of Christ. And today we are going to look into this passage to know how we can give thanks to God. Alright, shall we read? Okay, actually let me get people to read it. Charlotte, can you read for me Philippians chapter 4 verse 4? Come on. Hey, come on, don't waste time. Come on. Yeah, we have a bus waiting for us. Come, stand, respect the word, yeah, awesome. Awesome, thank you, right? Can we have Edmund Toh, right? Edmund Toh, can you read verse 5, right? Alright, awesome, right? And then verse 6, can we have Lydia? Alright, Lydia, come. Come, let's encourage Lydia, awesome. Amen. Right? Ariel. Is Ariel here today? Ariel, come on. Stand for me. Yeah, come. Let's read verse 7. Awesome, right? Let's have Kim. Let's have Kim to stand, right, to read verse 8. Oh, yeah. Awesome, right? Can we have Ian Shum to read verse 9? Thank you, Ian. All right, thank you, Ian. Right? Can we have Melvin? Melvin Lee, come. Read verse 10. Alright, now can we have Aritia to read verse 11? Isn't that crazy? Right, awesome stuff. Right, let's have Warren. Warren Wong, come. Read verse 12. Alright, can we have, is Jordan here? Jordan? No? Okay, it's okay. Can we have Elijah? Come, Elijah. Verse 12. No, sorry, verse 12. But I mean, that was nice reading also. Oh, you read it already? Oh, sorry, okay, then you can read verse 13 again for me, sorry. Sorry, lost track. Awesome, right, okay, now we are going to look, thank you, Elijah. Right, now let's all look at our Bibles, okay? We're going to see this whole passage in its fullness, right? We will look from verse 4 to verse 13, right? I want you guys to just read it once through, all right? So just take the time to read. Lord, we just want to pray that even as your disciples read your word, Lord, will your word speak to them in whatever circumstance they are in, Lord, may there be a spirit of thanksgiving just pouring out into their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, if you have some things that are keeping you, that are standing out to you, right, just circle it, right, just start to write down your own notes, right, please do that, okay, alright, okay, just take 10 more seconds, and then I'll continue. Alright, sorry, I'll be back down again. Alright, so there are three things. I'm so sorry, media team. Thank you for following me on the screen. Right, the three things that I observe, alright, so you can write down number one. Right, the three things that I observe, and I think you might have observed as well, was number one, that Paul had a trust in God. Right, Paul trusted God. Right, you can write down, Paul trusted God. Right. And I want to tell you that so can you. Right? Paul believed in Romans chapter 8, verse 28 to 29, he says, right, he will make all things work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose, right? If we are all disciples, right, every single one of us, if we are disciples, we are called according to his purpose, right? And not just that, God is saying that he will make all things work together for our good. And now that does not always mean that things will be successes, right? But it does mean that he will give us the greatest good, right, at the right timing, all right? So you can write that down, right? He will give us the greatest good at the right timing, all right? Paul trusted God, right? Today we sang, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Because our trust in God is something that goes beyond what we can see. What is the word for that? Faith. Wow, awesome, right? And with that faith in God, right, we can do anything, right? We can do all things, right? And something that I wanted to say about this trust, right? I'll just share a story, right? Do you want to hear a story? Thank you for indulging me, right? So my wife and I, we wanted a house before we got married, right? And we actually tried to rush that whole process out. So we went to go and flat visit, right? We visited different flats around the Dawson area because we really like that area and it's near both our workplaces, right? And around that time, we went to three houses, right? I think it was the third house that we went to. And then we realized, okay, you know what? Our wedding is coming really close. If we want to have that house, right, then we have to get this current house. And it's not a bad house, right? It just didn't feel like it was the perfect house. It's just okay, right? And so me, in my impulsiveness, said, let's get this house because it makes the most sense, right? And so we actually signed something, right, to the realtor and everything like that. And we even gave $5,000 on that day, right? That's the process of getting a resale flat. And when we were going towards the day that we had to confirm it, so when you confirm it, you give a further 10%. I think it's 10%, right? Suddenly, on that Friday night after JPI sell, I started to feel in my heart that God was saying, give up the flat. And this was one day before my very good friend Pua Yisin's wedding, right? It was the day that my wife, or back then my girlfriend Gloria, had to send off a Bobonaro team. And it was already 10:30, nearing 11. And we were all at Tea Garden McDonald's, and I felt God just say, you got to tell Gloria that we are not to take the flat. So with a lot of fear and trepidation, I picked up my phone, I called Gloria, and she was, Gloria loves stability. So that was a very unstable move, right, for me. And when I told her, I don't think we are supposed to take this flat, I feel that God is asking us to trust in him to provide a flat at the right time, right? And I think we were both very fearful, but we ended the call. And by the time we ended the call, we had decided we won't meet the person. So the agent was super furious. He was like, huh? How come you don't want? That's so weird. You're going to forfeit your money. Are you sure? And we were like, yeah, we're going to forfeit that $5,000, right? Because we think God is going to provide something better. And so we decided there was an SBF round. SBF is sale or balance flats that we'll just apply, right? There were 600 applicants for only 100 flats. You are still following me? Or is this too adult? No, right? Okay, you understand, huh? Okay, so 600 people trying to find 100 spaces. And we were thinking, man, the chances of us getting is 1 over 6. Very good, you are still doing math well, right? And so with that, we went to go and do our business. And so we came back from our honeymoon. And on that day, right, I had a meeting with, I think, Sarah Sito, right, in room 204 or something like that. And then I got a text from HDB. And that text was a crazy text, right? Because when I opened it, we got the flat of our dreams in Queenstown. It was more than $100,000 cheaper than that other flat that we were going to buy for resale, and it is for 99 years. The other flat was for 75 years, right? God said he would provide. And when we took that leap of faith, we had no chance. We wouldn't have known, right? We wouldn't have known. And we were in our little prison thinking, oh man, we don't have anywhere to go after our wedding, right? but God chose to provide, right? And we had friends, right, who also very lovingly offered us a place in their house to stay, right? So we were very, very blessed by all of these things. And I just want to say this, right? Sometimes we read the Bible and we think these miracles only happen in ancient times. Can I tell you, that is completely untrue. The same God who worked miracles in Paul's time, who broke people out of prison, who gave money, who raised the dead, is the same God who is still working in your life, right? And if you have not reached that place, can I urge you, right, to continue on in your journey with God, because you never know, right? They always have these memes of the guy digging the hole, and then actually right next to that hole, there's a whole huge treasure chest, right? All you need could be just that one more step. Right, don't give up. Don't give up, right? Okay, you are still with me? Yeah, I know that story was pretty long, but that was number one, right? Trust in God. Number two, right? Paul surrendered his rights and his ideals. In Luke, you can write down Luke chapter 9, verse 23, the original discipler of all disciples, Jesus Christ, said, if you were to come after me, you have to take your cross, deny yourself, and follow me daily. Daily, right? And Paul understood that. Going to prison was not an issue for him. Why? Because he had given up the idea of what his life was going to look like. His ideal understanding of what a family would look like was something he surrendered to God. If he could have a normal family and whatever, I'm sure he would praise God, right? But God had chosen something else for him. And God has a destiny for every single one of us, if only we chose to surrender whatever is in our hands today, right? And Paul said, right, that when we surrender the things, okay, I mean, he didn't say this, sorry, I'm inferring, right? That Paul believed that when he surrendered all of these things, that God would guide him, right? And he says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7, right? The peace that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds. What is that peace? That peace comes from that surrender, right? When you have given up that very thing that you've been holding on to, that is when God can actually give you that peace to go into the place of your calling, the place of your mission, the place of your destiny, right? And in, where was I? What was my point? Surrender your rights, that's right. In Romans chapter 8, verse 17, that's right. Romans chapter 8, verse 17, you all can write that down, right? So if we want to share in the victory of Christ, right, it says we have to share in his sufferings. And that required a full surrender from Paul, right? And, I mean, in my heart, I think today a lot of us are thinking, Pastor Sam, or, you know, you talk to your cell leader, it's so difficult for me to surrender. You know what? I believe Paul had difficulties surrendering things as well, right? But I think with every single step that we choose to surrender, right? Someone once told me that in Sunday school, someone asked on the altar call, right, for them to bring the most precious thing that they had and to put it on the altar. And someone brought a Pokemon pen. Now, in those days, when we were young, it was easy. We might think it's easy for them to give that, right? But it's because from young, they have learned the understanding of what surrender is. That today, surrendering their house, surrendering their car, surrendering their keys, surrendering their lives, becomes an easier prospect, right? This journey of surrender does not begin with just an immediate thing. It begins with the one thing that God is asking you tonight, right? He might not be asking you for everything right now, but you know what? I think even as I'm speaking, perhaps God is really saying that there's something you need to surrender. And it could just be a feeling, it could just be a person, but guess what, guys? If you surrender that, you will have that peace that God wants to give you. Amen? Amen, right? I just wanted to add one more verse, Job 1, verse 21, right? That says, naked I come from my mother's womb, right? And naked I will go to the grave. That was said by Job, right? And it's a saying, right? And it is the understanding that we should not ever love something more, right, than God, right? Because what we take to the grave, there's nothing. We can only take a few things, right? The other verse I wanted to say was 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses, I think 11 or 12, right? You all can write that down, right? It says, everything is permissible. That means everything is allowed, but not everything is beneficial. Do not be a slave to something. the fact that we cannot surrender everything means that we are still enslaved to something, right? God still does not have the throne in our hearts, and we need to come to that place of surrender. All right, last point, right, for this is number three, that Paul focused on how God or Jesus, right, was training him and strengthening him. In James chapter 1, verse 2, right? So are you writing this down? Okay, so point number 3, right? And then you can write down James chapter 1, verse 2 to 5. It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever we face trials of many kinds, because we know that the testing of our faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must complete its work in order for us to become mature and complete, right? Paul rejoiced. And that's why in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, right? I think one, who was it that I called first? Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Yeah, Charlotte, right? Charlotte read it. You can rejoice because God is making you a stronger person. Turn to the person next to you and say, God is making you a stronger person. The Paul that went into prison in Philippi was now so much stronger in the prison of Rome, right? And in that whole process, Paul remembered that he could take joy. And that's why he said, rejoice, my brothers. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice because we are growing, right? And I know some of you might be thinking, crazy, you know? I'm going through such a tough time. How can I rejoice? Well, I'm not saying that you need to smile at every moment. That would be weird, right? But I'm saying that there is a choice to make. And that choice is to choose to believe that something is happening in you. There is a greater work that is happening in you, right? That is making you a new creation, that is making you a stronger person, developing you, right? In Job 23 verse 11, it says, right, that He knows the way that we take, right? And when we come forth, we will come forth as gold, because we have been tried and tested by the flames and the trials of the world. Right? Those are the three things, right? And now the next portion, you can write down the things I can be thankful for in every season. The things I can be thankful for in every season, right? The first, as Paul was in prison in Rome, he had just come from Jerusalem, right? He had just visited multiple churches on his missionary journey. He knew that Thomas was somewhere in India. Thomas the disciple. He knew that Peter was continuing the great work of ministering to the Jews in Jerusalem. He knew that Thaddeus was in Armenia. He knew that all the other disciples, the other apostles, were doing something in the kingdom. Right? I want to ask you guys a question. Do you know that there are comrades in the kingdom of God with you today? Right, let us look at this video. You are waymaker, miracle work, promise keep, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle work, promise keep, light in the darkness, my God, that is who So we cheer when we see each ministry, right? Because these are the people that are ministering with us. Waymaker, miracle worker.
never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I can't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working.
That video was done in 2 days, collated statistics in a period of 3 days, right? Because I asked out of the box to do it, right? So with the help of everyone, can we all thank the box for doing that video up? I think sometimes, right, we undervalue the person sitting next to us, right? Right now, you are kind of like put into a cell, and there's something that you think, oh, I have no choice in. But you know what? In 10 years' time, like I am, I'm still meeting up with my secondary segment cell members, as in my own peers, you know, people who were born in 1991. How many of you were? Okay, never mind. Right? And I'm still meeting them, right? And we are still rejoicing over each other, right? Recently, one of my previous cell leader just gave birth, right? Rachel Chia. So, really amazing, right? And you know what? They are your comrades. Paul had reason to thank God, right? Earlier, the 3 points that I said are how we can give thanks to God, right? Trust in God, surrender, and last but not least, what? Focus on God strengthening us, right? And right now, I'm telling us what we can thank God for in every season. The first is our comrades. Everyone take a look at your left and your right. I always say this, but I cannot emphasize this enough. You are not alone. You are not alone. When you go into your school, even if you are the only Christian in your school, you, like Paul, in the prison of Rome, can still remember that your other friends, Silas, Timothy, John Mark, Barnabas, Peter, James, John, they are still doing the good work somewhere. Even as you are writing your books, okay, I mean, well, maybe you're not writing Bible lah, okay? But even as you are writing your exam paper, right, you will remember that John in Patmos is writing another paper in exile, right? You will know that Stephen, right, so many other stories in the Bible. Paul lived as a human being. He was like you. And all of us have someone or somebody, right, that we know. And you know what? The greatest bond between you and your kingdom friendships is not what you click over. It's not about the chemistry, right? When I'm in my pastoral team, right, so Pastor Eunice sees me, right, in the pastoral team, we are so different. Every single one of us are so different. Pastor Mark preaches amazingly. Different one of the pastors have their own giftings. But the one thing that bonds us all together without anything holding us back is that we all love Jesus. You know, that's the biggest singular point of unity. When Paul says there is one faith, one baptism, and one Father, between you and the person next to you, even if you do not know that person, Jesus has led you to this place, right? And even in that wayfinding, right? You saw the last picture. That was the camp wayfinder. We always say we are wayfinders. But you know what? God makes a way for us to find Him. And not just that, but for us to find each other, right? In the kingdom of God, okay? I have a quote that I want to read, which I cannot remember, and that's why I'm here on stage. In Star Wars, for those of you who don't know Star Wars, just try and imagine with me, there is a moment, and there's a moment where the general dies, and a new general is appointed, and the new general is completely at a loss. He is new, he is young, and he is completely incapable. Some of us might feel like this. So Poe Dameron says, I got to tell you, I don't really know how to do this. This being to fight evil, right? What you did, he's talking to Lando, right? What you did, I am not ready. And this senior, the person who has gone through multiple wars against the evil of Star Wars, right? He says, neither were we. And I wonder whether Paul says the same thing to us, right? Lando says, Luke Skywalker, Han Solo, Leia, me, who was ever ready? Poe Dameron says, then how do you guys do it? How do you all defeat an empire with almost nothing? And Lando says, we had each other. That's how we won. Right? And at the very, very start of the film, right, there's this character that says, the evil or the darkness wins by making you think you are alone. Because when you are alone, you do not know the strength that lies with everyone that is by your side. Right? Can I hear an amen? The second thing that we can thank God for, can we all turn, or actually no, let's just look at the screen. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6, if possible. Thank you. Keep your life free from the love of money. Okay, that's great. And be content with what you have. Right? For he said, I will. Can we read this together? I will. Let's go to verse 6. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? You know what, guys? In every season, we can trust that God will never leave us nor forsake us. In 2013, I had failed. Right, I'm in my South Asian module, right, I got C+. Right, in my NUS grades, I was at a horrible place. Right, at that point in time, I liked the girl who is now my wife. She wasn't replying my text back then, so I was very sad and depressed. Right, but for good reason, okay, for good reason. She's a fantastic wife, okay. Right, I even struggled with my friendships, and there were many things that were going on for me. I did not have any purpose in my life. Right, and I remember stepping on the bus to Majodi to B camp, one of the camps of our time, and I remember when Marcus Lee stood at the front of the stage, right, and he started singing, right, I can sing in the troubled times, I can sing when I win, I can sing when I lose my step and I fall down again. I can sing because you lift me up, I can sing because you are there. I can sing because you hear me, Lord, when I call to you in prayer. I can sing with my last breath. I can sing for I know that I'll sing with the angels and the saints around the throne. And in that moment, I was reminded that I have two things to thank God for. God and all the saints around the throne in that moment. Right? Can we have the worship team come up? But, you know, even then, in my prison, I found some strength to sing a song of thanksgiving. I wonder how many of us are in prisons today. You might not be in a literal prison, but you might be in a prison in the sense that you are restricted by emotions, right? By inadequacy, by your fears, by your emotions, by so many things. This world cannot wait to put you into a prison or into a box. But guys, I want to say that there is some strength in you to sing a song of thanksgiving, right? With all eyes closed and all heads bowed. I know some of you are here maybe for the first time. Some of you here have been here a couple of weeks and you've been hearing about this Jesus. You've been hearing about different values that we've been talking about. You've been hearing about David, one of the disciples in the Old Testament. And you are like, Pastor, count me in. I want to join this fight. I want to be a part of this. If there is you, I want to give you this opportunity with all eyes closed and all heads bowed, yeah? Is there anyone here who wants to say, I want to live that life. I want to follow Jesus. I want to share in His suffering in order to share in His victory. If that is you, can I ask you to just raise your hand? Right? Just high up. Okay. Right, for the rest of us, I want us to stand. Shall we all stand? Let's all rise to our feet. There is an endless song echoing in our souls today. And the endless song is how great God is. Amen? And I want to say, I want to invite every single person, let us do a prophetic act, okay? I mean, okay, of course, if you are unable to do it physically, don't worry. But as a prophetic act, as an action to show God your sincerity, make a move out of your seat. It doesn't really matter to me where you end up, but make a move out of your seat to say, even if I'm stuck in that circumstance, my spirit will move out. It will sing hymns. You ask me, what is the ending of my title today for the sermon? Thanksgiving, : singing songs in prison. We will sing songs in our prisons, right? And as one family of disciples, we will sing together, right? So when the music starts and Pastor Eunice or whomever leads the song, we are going to sing three songs. And all three songs are about praising God, right? I want you to step out of your seat, wherever that may be. And when you step out of your seat, remember that you are speaking to your soul and saying, I will look to the joy set before me, just like Jesus did, just like Paul did. He had no fear, or rather he overcame fear, because he knew that he could thank God for His presence in his life. Shall we sing? For those of you who want to come to the front like worship, take that act. Just come to the front and do not fear who is looking at you. All right. Song echoes in my soul. I hear the music ring. And though the storms may come, I am moving on to the rock I came. Thank you. even as we come to the end of service, right? Can we have like maybe something playing? Yeah, just something playing. Yeah, but even as we come to the end of service, right? I just wanted to say, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. That whole passage we read, it ends off saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know what? Even in this place of thanksgiving in our prisons, we know that He will strengthen us and we can praise Him for it, right? And He will carry us into 2020. Amen?
Amen.
Right? And one more thing I wanted to say, right? Even as one Kus Youth, shall we all just take a hand next to each other? I know you guys think it's very cheesy. All right, yeah, I know. It's fine, right? It's okay to have a little bit of cheese here and there, right? But you know what? We are so thankful that we are in the kingdom of God. We are so thankful that we can end the year together. From the start, the beginning of the year, ship's week, right, through the whole series of David, right, we came from wayfinder to waymaker, like what Pastor Titus said, right, we went to a place of understanding discipleship, and here we are before the Lord. You guys are the assembly, right, and in this place, we can give thanks to God.
Amen.
I'm going to pray. Lord, you see the hands that are holding on to someone else's. And perhaps there are some that are not, but that's okay. God, we pray that you hold every hand. Will you hold every hand? Lord, and in every relationship, will you be the center? Lord, we pray that even as we go into 2020, may we be a family of disciples. Ones who will make the choice time and time again. Ones that will make the decision to always go after you, loving you. Our hearts, Lord. And Lord, we pray, will we always have the humility to check ourselves? And last but not least, God, will we always remember that we are on a mission to make disciples? Right? I think, let's just sing one last song. But it's okay if... Yeah. Right? Let's sing You Are the One. Right? Because that was written by someone from our auditorium, from our congregation, Marcus Lee. Right? And I think that that has become such a big part of our Kus Youth narrative. We will sing it as a closing song today. Right? And then after that, I'll dismiss us. Shall we just sing from the chorus? Yeah, from the chorus. Actually, maybe... Beautiful.
I will...
and sing, you are the one I will. Come on, it's one Kusuv, let's sing it. You will be the song that we sing, God, in every circumstance, whatever the situation. Lord, you will be the one that we will look to. Come, let's sing one more time. You are the one. One last time.
And you are the one.
We focus in on you, God. We set you as the king of our hearts once again, Lord. You will be the song, Lord, in the prisons that we will sing.
You are our God. You are our Lord. You're our everything.
Let's sing, you are our God. You are our God. And you are our God. You are our Lord.
You are our Lord. You're our everything.
Praise God. Lord, even as we close this service, Lord, Lord, we thank you that you touch our hearts. We thank you that you are moving in this place. And Lord, may we remember that as we go into 2020, let the song of thanksgiving in our hearts arise in every circumstance. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. Right, turn to someone next to you and say, praise God. Alright, awesome, right? That, guys, is the last service of the year. We are going to see you in January, right? So come, bring a friend, right? And have a very happy new year.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.whos.org.sg. God bless.